Us have done that, and I wonder why we don't do that. What keeps us from surrendering fully to the Lord and His plan and His will for our life?
What is it? Fear. It's exactly right. It's fear.
And isn't it amazing that we're afraid of God's plan, a God who knows everything, and we'll follow our plan when we know nothing? It's amazing, isn't it? Thank you so much. That was tremendous. Galatians chapter 6 tonight. Galatians chapter 6. Appreciate you being here tonight. I know all of you knew the pastor wouldn't be here. For those that did not know he wasn't going to be here, when I pray, if you want to slip out, I understand. But the rest of you had fair warning. So appreciate you being here tonight. Pray that God will minister to all of our hearts as we look at His Word tonight. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, boy, my heart was challenged by that duet. And Lord, thinking just, Lord, help me to surrender my thoughts, my dreams, my wishes, my desires, my everything to You. And Lord, help us as a church to be able to do that, Lord. And my, what a church this could be if every member would do that and say, Lord, just do with me what You want to do with me. And Lord, give us that spirit, we pray. And now as we look at Your Word tonight, I pray that again, You would guide my thoughts, my words. Lord, I would say the things You'd have me to say. Give us listening minds, hearing ears, obedient hearts, I pray, to Your Word. And challenge these folks as You have challenged me by this thought, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to preach to you on burdens. Now, if you're thinking right now, wait a minute, Pastor just preached on burdens. I told him when he left I was going to straighten it out and preach it right. And that's not true. I didn't tell him that. I am preaching on the same topic, but from a different angle. He preached on allowing God to carry your burdens. And I'm going to talk about the opposite of that. And that is for us as believers to carry the burdens of others. Both are taught in this text, by the way. And we're going to use this tonight, and I'll just be honest with you. When we were at the Wilds Music Conference recently, the speaker spoke on a man who I'm going to mention toward the end, and boy, the Lord really challenged my heart to be a burden bearer, someone that sees other believers in need and is willing to sacrifice my time, my talent, my money, or whatever to minister to that believer and to help them. And this is really the message of Galatians chapter 6. Let's read the first 5 verses. And he says, brethren, so he's talking to Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here it is, bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be nothing or something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Notice, for every man shall bear his own burden. Are those two verses ever bother you? Verse 1 and verse 5. They did me. He says, wait a minute, I want you to bear each other's burdens. And then in verse 5 he says, hey, bear your own burden. Well, which is it? Okay? Stay right where you are. I'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. All right, number one, just 2 main points tonight. The exhortation for burden bearing, and I want you to see, first of all, the need for burden bearing. Now, in this passage, it's very specific. It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he's caught in temptation or he falls into sin. Throughout the Word of God, it's translated offense or trespass or sin. So in this passage, very specifically, he says you need to be on the lookout for believers who fall into sin. They're in temptation and they fall and they fail and they have problems in their life. You know this, every believer here is going to be tempted this week. And if we are not careful, in a moment of weakness, we can do anything that an unbeliever can do. Have you ever thought about that? I think we get the idea, well, now I am a believer. I am a saint. You know, saints don't do those wicked things. Well, hallelujah, my friend, you can if you're not careful. And unfortunately, often there are many believers who fall by the wayside and they are tempted and they are in a weak moment and they sin. Now, this is very specific in this passage, but I think we also can make the application that we should minister to brothers who are sinning, but also to brothers, and by the way, we can say sisters here too, that are suffering. What does sin produce in the life? Well, obviously there's the original sin of Adam and Eve, and because of that original sin, there is great suffering in this life, isn't there? There are people with great needs. There are people in our church that have great needs. And often it doesn't come from personal sin, but it comes from the general sinful state of the world. If you were to take the prayer list in the Victory Bible class, and we just started over today, but last week it was 2 pages. Cancer, 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 people who've died, people with trouble, people with all kinds of physical needs and family needs. Everybody's got trouble. Just, I tell you folks, just look around and you'll find people with trouble. It's interesting, Mickey went for a treatment this last week at the hospital for the cancer that he has. And he said, I think it was Mickey was telling me this, while he was there in the treatment, there was another lady there who had some extremely serious life-threatening cancer. And people all around with needs and troubles and difficulties. And you know, often it's just caused by the original fall of man. Sometimes it's caused by your own sinfulness, isn't it? I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but how many of you, this is just thinking in your mind, have gone through trials and troubles and suffering because of choices you made? Well, sure, all of us have. So he says, look, we need to be helping people who are suffering, whether it's because of sin or because of the original sin and the fall and fall of mankind. He said there are people, there are brothers and sisters in Christ all around you who are hurting and have burdens to bear. And he commands us in this passage that we are to bear those burdens. And it's very clear there in verse 2. He says, all right, here it is. I want you to bear one another's burdens. Now, it's interesting. In verse 1, he gives us another word. He says, restore such an one. So what is the purpose of this passage? For me to go to Mark Harbin and say, you wicked sinner, you deserve, I'm just going to, and just beat him down and just destroy him, right? That's not restoration. That's not helping them carry their burden. It's not shouldering the burden with them. You know, this passage, folks, is always used in a positive sense. Now you say, well, Gary, but they sinned. They deserve to be punished. Well, you let God take care of that. He can do very well with that. That's not our job. Our job, and I praise the Lord, I don't know of anybody in our church who thinks it's their job to convict people in our church and go around and get them right with the Lord. I don't know, and I hope that's not you. Boy, that will tear a church apart in a hurry. That's not the purpose of this passage. It is to restore and to help carry their burden, to bear their burden. That word restore means to mend or to repair something that is broken or damaged. Now look, folks, this is what God is calling you to. If you're a believer, this is the ministry God is calling you to. He said, I want you to bear one another's burdens. And he's not talking about kicking people when they're down, okay? The reason you go to people is to restore and to help carry the burden that is upon them. Let me give you a couple of the passages that talk about this. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, wherefore comfort yourselves together, and here's the key word, edify one another, even as also you do. What does that word edify mean? Build up, exactly right. It doesn't mean to pound down, does it? It means to pick them up. Pick them up. Build them up. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a believer with a heavy burden and you made it your goal to pick them up? To come alongside and to bear the burden and to help them with their great need. You know, the easiest thing in the world is to sit back in your chair and say, "Ah, oh, there they are. They're so wicked. I can't believe they even come to church anymore. Get them, preacher. Get them." All right? The easiest thing to do is tear people down, isn't it? But that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to pick people up. No, listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Now listen, comfort the feeble-minded. You say, "Well, they really are." Okay, well then, comfort them. Support the weak. Be patient. Oh, this is a good one. Toward all men. You say, "But Gary, you don't realize what they're like." It says all, okay? That is our duty. That is our obligation. Now, who's supposed to do it? Well, it tells you right here. It says in the passage, "Brethren, if we are taken fall, ye which are" what? "Spiritual." Now, what does that mean? Who's spiritual? Well, the man who carries his King James Version around and he says, "The Lord loves you." And he, you know, he comes to church and he is just super, right? Doesn't say a pious person, self-righteous person. It says a spiritual person. What's a spiritual person? Well, that's really pretty simple. Somebody who's spirit-controlled. Somebody who's walking with the Lord. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't say, look, if you have a degree in counseling from Bob Jones or Crown College or Pensacola, then you can do this. It doesn't say that. It said, look, if you are walking with the Lord, somebody who is right with God, who is spirit controlled, this is your obligation. Now notice how he says to do it. Again in verse 1, restore such an one in the spirit of what? Of meekness. Again, it's not coming to condemn. It's not coming to rake somebody over the coals, but it is to do it with a meek spirit, a considerate, compassionate, gracious spirit. Again, in Ephesians 4:29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, it's interesting. I mentioned early on about the word burden. And here's how you do it, folks. Person you find has a burden. And this word burden in verse 2, pastor talked about this word, is a heavy load that is hard to carry. Now in verse 5, it is a different word for burden in the original. And these are burdens that God expects us to carry with his help. But in verse 2, these are heavy burdens that cannot be borne by oneself. And so we're to come alongside that person and we're to help them carry that burden. We're to provide encouragement and accountability and prayer for the burdened brother. And listen, folks, this is a costly work. It takes time to come along somebody. It takes sacrifice of your own time and your talents and maybe even your finances. You know, you may be thinking of somebody right now that you know that's a brother in Christ and they are struggling financially and God has repeatedly said, you need to help them financially. And you say, I can hardly make it myself. Wait a minute. Then you're not willing to be a burden bearer. God is calling us, folks, to come alongside people and bear their burdens. And there may be personal sacrifice. And there may be difficulty. And it will cost you something. But this is God's command. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, what's the motive behind this? Why should we do it? What's the reason? We're still in the main point here. Look at verse 2. "And so make yourself feel good about yourself." Right? Is that why you should be a burden bearer? So you can go around and say, well, you see Fred sitting over there. I don't think we have a Fred in our church. If we do, I apologize. Fred sitting over here. And, you know, 5 weeks ago, he was backslidden. But I went to him and I restored him. I am the great burden bearer. Is that the reason? Why do you do it? It tells you right here. He said, this is the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Well, I can tell you. And let me give you a couple of verses. In 1 John 4:21, "And this is the commandment that we have of him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." This is God's commandment. In James 2:8, it says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. And again in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Listen, as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Why should you be a burden bearer? Why should Marty Scroggs be a burden bearer? Because that's the love of Christ. That's the law of Christ. That's the command of Christ. Christ has commanded us to love like he loved and to be a burden bearer. Now, let me just stop for a moment before we look at some examples. If you were to look at your own life, we're 17 days into the 2016. So that's not a whole lot of time. But think back over the last 2 or 3 months. Can you think of a believer, a burdened believer, that you have come alongside of and helped bear their burden? Now, folks, this is not optional. This is God's command to us to be burden bearers. Now, I want to give you 2 examples of people that were burden bearers in the New Testament. All right? The first one, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple passages in Acts, so keep your fingers limber there. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And it said, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. That's an amazing thought. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the thing that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So here's the situation. We got a new church, okay? The church has just been formed at Pentecost. Thousands were saved. Thousands are being saved all the time. The church is growing. Oh, we've got people that have needs. So what'd the church do? Well, they turned in their name to the government so the government could take care of them, right? What'd the church do? The church, people in the church, shared what they had. They sold property. By the way, they didn't have to. They did it willingly. And they gave to these people that were poor and helped them. Now, think about that. This is going on in the church, and now he's going to bring out one person as an example of all those people that did that. And look at him here in verse 36. And Joseph, that's his real name, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow, what an example. Here is a guy that said, you know what? There are brothers and sisters in Christ that have needs. They have financial needs. I'm going to sell my property, some of my property. I'm going to take that money. I'm going to give it to them to meet their needs. There's our first example in his life. Let's follow his life some more, though. Look in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to give you all the scenarios first and then give you why he did it and the results of that. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Let me give you, the setting here. Saul, who was the persecutor of the Christians in chapter 8, gets saved in chapter 9. Okay? And he begins to preach, and he's going around preaching. And remember what he was doing before that. He was going and he was taking Christians and throwing them in jail. I mean, if you heard that Saul was coming as a believer, what'd you do? You ran and hid, okay? Because he would throw you in jail, and it may be the end of your life. So he comes in, and he said, boy, he's gotten saved. He's preaching the word of God. Great things are coming. Look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now you can see that, can't you? Saul gets this idea.
These guys are all hiding from me. I can't find them. I know what I'll do. I'll act like I'm a believer too. And I'll go in and I'll get with all these apostles, and man, then I'll have them, and then I'll throw them all in jail. That's what these guys thought. So we've got a problem. Here is Saul, newly converted. The apostles are saying, you're not coming near us, buddy. We don't believe for a minute that you got saved. But look at verse 27. But Barnabas, same guy, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. Now here's Barnabas. And Saul comes around, and Barnabas said, you know what? I'm gonna help this guy. I'm gonna help this guy. Now, we're gonna think about this in a moment, what Saul became. But what if Barnabas had never stepped forward? What if he had never cleared the way for Saul to get with these apostles? What if Barnabas had said, you know what? I don't know if that guy's for real or not either. I'm staying away from him. But he didn't do that. And Barnabas took him under his wing and brought him in. And it's interesting, as we read this passage, go back to the passage there, and in verse 28, it says that he was with them coming and going out in Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Wow. Now, Barnabas goes from here, and he goes to Antioch and begins to work in Antioch at the church and becomes the pastor of Antioch. Now, here's an amazing thing. The work at Antioch begins to grow, and he said, you know what? I need some help. So who did he go get? Saul. And he went and got Saul, and it's interesting because throughout the passage so far, it's Barnabas and Saul. But somewhere along the line, it changes in Antioch, and it becomes Saul and Barnabas. And God is blessing that church, and God raises up a great church there. In fact, what do you know about the church of Antioch that was unique? What happened? You know? They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because Barnabas was willing to be a burden bearer and was willing to take Saul and to minister to him and helped him. Let me give you one more example in his life, and I'll just tell you about this one. Not only did he bear the burden of the people in the church, he bore Saul's burden, he also bore John Mark's burden. Remember John Mark? First missionary journey, he's a nephew of Barnabas. Barnabas say, let's take John Mark along. Saul says, great, this good guy, good young fella, we'll take him with us, it's going to be great. And so they're traveling from city to city, and as you know, they visited every jail, and they got thrown out of cities, and it was pretty rough. And old John Mark, or young John Mark, they came to Perga, Pamphylia, and he said, you know what, this is for the birds. You guys can have this. I'm going back to Jerusalem. I've had enough. And he quit. So Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, finish the first missionary journey. They go back to Jerusalem, and it gets time to go on the second missionary journey, and you know the story, don't you? Barnabas said, you know what? I think John Mark is doing great. We can help him. We can build him back up. Let's take him with us. And what'd Saul say? Not on your life. That guy's a loser. He already left us once. I'm not taking him with us again. Oh, this is just terrible. I'm not taking John Mark. And it's an amazing thing that happens on the second missionary journey is there's disunity, isn't there? And there's a split. And Barnabas says, you know what? Now, who was right? Who knows? Maybe this is what, you know, we see the Lord's hand in this because Paul took Silas along with him, and that really paid off as he was a Roman citizen later on. But Barnabas said, you know what, I'm gonna help Mark. So Saul went his way, and Barnabas and John Mark went their way. Now, what was Barnabas' attitude in all of this? Why did he do all these things? Now, I already mentioned to you, his real name was
J-O-S-E-S, Joses. It was not Barnabas. Now think about this, folks. The word Barnabas is the word for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes along beside. Here's an amazing thing, folks. Barnabas, that was his nickname. He was such a giving, sacrificial man that the church said, wow, we're going to call you Barnabas. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be great if the people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church saw you out there and said, wow, man, you are such a giver and burden bearer. We're just going to change your name to Barnabas. Wow, what a testimony. Here was a man who was so compassionate and so caring and so giving that they changed his name. What a wonderful thing. What an unselfish attitude. He gave money to the church. He was willing to risk his life to help Paul. He was willing to slide into the background and let Paul become the leader of the church in Antioch. He was a man who was willing to sacrifice his position with Paul so that he could help John Mark. Now, I've left out all the results of this, the accomplishments, but I want to back up and think about each story. Because Barnabas sacrificed his money in Acts chapter 4, what happened to the church? The needs were met, and the church grew. Do you think if we had a church full of Barnabases, that the needs of our people would be met, and this church would grow? I think so. What about old Paul? I should call him Saul. What happened to old Saul? Well, he did become Paul. He went through a name change too. He did a little bit for the Lord, you think? Wrote 13 books of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Started all the churches of Asia Minor. He did a little bit for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Now, we don't know, and I'm not God, and I don't know what would happen if something did. But just think about Barnabas. Would Paul ever have done all those mighty things if Barnabas hadn't come alongside and helped him and bore his burdens in that time? You say, yeah, but old John Mark, now he was a loser. Well, he was. But it's interesting, at the end of Paul's life, what did he say about John Mark? In 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. How did that happen? How did the loser get to be a helper? Barnabas. Because Barnabas said, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice my relationship even with Saul or Paul, and I'm willing to break off and not be in the limelight with him on these missionary journeys. I'm willing to sacrifice myself. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to help Mark to be restored. Oh, by the way, did Mark turn out to be kind of an important guy too? Yeah, you have a book in the Bible that he wrote. It's called Mark. Yeah. Why did all that happen, folks? Because Barnabas was a burden bearer. Now, again, we don't know where all these men would have showed up or what would have happened if Barnabas hadn't stepped in. But we know what happened when he did. Boy, God used him in a mighty way. In a mighty way. And my challenge for you tonight is be a burden bearer. Be a Barnabas. Be one that is willing to sacrifice to come along and help someone in need. Now, I know I've been talking the passages specifically about believers, but hallelujah, we can certainly make this application to unbelievers too, can't we? And we come alongside an unbeliever and we work with them and we bring them to Christ and we see their life changed. Now, Barnabas is a great example, but there's even a better example in the Word of God. I was going to talk about Nehemiah and how Nehemiah was a burden bearer, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to give you one more. And that is our greatest example of a burden bearer, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about how he bore our burdens. In fact, in Hebrews 9:28, it says, "So Christ was once offered for what reason? To bear the sins of many." 2 Corinthians 5:21, great passage of Scripture. "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a great... Do you realize, folks, that if Christ had not bore your sin burden, you could never go to heaven. But he did. He bore your burden. The songwriter said it well. "He bore my burdens to Calvary and suffered and died alone." Jesus Christ was our great burden bearer, folks. He bears our burdens today. I won't spend much time here because Pastor already preached two messages on it. But, you know, it may have missed you or you may have missed them. And I remind you that even today, Jesus Christ wants to bear your burden. As a saved person, he commends us to cast our burden upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And you may be here tonight, and Pastor preached a wonderful message this morning on peace, and you've heard this, but again, to remind you that Jesus Christ wants to help carry your burden. And the great passage in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? Rest. Rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And again, I know Pastor just preached on this, but my friend, if you're a believer and you're not yoked up with Christ in carrying the burden, you're doing all the work. Hallelujah, you get yoked up with Christ, he'll do all the work, and you're just going along. Christ bore your burden at Calvary. He wants to bear your burden today. Why? Because he loves you. Because he's compassionate. Because he is meek. Because he is tender. I want to give you a couple verses that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I ever understood and often wondered about. It's in Matthew. I'll tell you what, turn there. Matthew 12:20. Matthew 12:20. Matthew 12:20. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I never understood this passage. And it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." And I read that verse, and I've read that verse. You've read it too. You ever wonder what in the world it means? I mean, what? Number one, what in the world is a bruised reed and a smoking flax? Well, I didn't know any more than you do. And a bruised reed, they would take a reed from the riverside and they would make an instrument out of it. And over time, it would wear out, it'd get soggy, and they would crack it, they would break it, and they'd get rid of it. That's a bruised reed. And a smoking flax, you can probably understand a little better because some of you might have old lanterns and you know how the wick, as it burns, or even these expensive candles you buy at Cracker Barrel, you know, these beautiful candles that are wonderful to have. How's that? Good, all right. And you burn those things, and after a while, the wick, it all burns up, and it gets to the point where it won't burn anymore. It's really not good for anything. That's what it's talking about, is that wick that won't burn. And you know how fragile those are? I mean, you just touch them, and they just break, and they fall apart. And it said the Lord, he won't bruise or break those things. Now, what does that mean? What it's showing us, folks, is the tender compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. These reeds and all these things, they're broken and dysfunctional people, okay? Some of us fit in there, maybe all of us do. And the Word of God is saying the Lord wants to help and minister those people. And I'll be honest with you, when I read that and studied that, I thought, well, wait a minute. Man, I read about the Lord, and he's just wailed on these religious hypocrites. Yeah, he did, but he never did on the poor, suffering people that came to him for help. The Lord never said, oh, no, you're too weak. You're too bad. I don't want to help you. Didn't happen. And boy, what a great thing today that the Lord, folks, if you'll come to him with your burden, he wants to help you and he wants to minister in your life. What an example of a burden bearer. And you see, the reason I said all that is because we are to be like Christ. And that's the kind of things we're supposed to be doing in our life. Not hurting people, not harming people, but helping people. Now I wonder tonight, in conclusion, don't you love those words when a preacher says, in conclusion? Let me ask you tonight, are you a burden bearer? Are you actively bearing others' burdens? Now, it may be that tonight God has put someone on your mind. Now, they may be a believer, maybe an unbeliever, but someone that God is calling you to come alongside and to minister to them and to help carry their burden. God has given me someone like that. And, you know, often when you do those kinds of things, it's not like the person said, wow, you are great. I really appreciate you. They may not even pay any attention to you. They may not appreciate what you're doing. But what are we going to do, folks? Just let them go? You say, well, I don't have time. I don't have the finances. I don't have the counseling wisdom or whatever. Hey, just come alongside them. And hold them up, pick them up, edify them, build them up in the Lord. Do all you can to help bear their burden. Folks, we are surrounded by people with great burdens. Now, it's real easy to say, somebody comes, I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you. And you may, and that's a good thing. But is that all? What did James say? He said, look, if somebody comes in your midst and you say, boy, you're poor and you're needy and you got problems, boy, I'll pray for you. Hope you make it. Look, believers, God has called us to bear the burdens of those around us. There are people in your life that you can influence for God. And you can help them to become what God wants them to be. It may take some time. It may take some money. It may take some sacrifice. But hallelujah, that's what God wants you to do. Be a Barnabas. Be someone that is willing to sacrifice and to help people. Now, God has convicted me about this because I'll be honest with you. Even in the ministry, there's a tendency to do your thing, you know. Do what you got to do. Do your program. I am very program oriented. You know, get the job done. Don't let people get in the way. Get the job done, you know. Well, what is the job? The job is people. And if you're a child of God today, God has called you to the same ministry of being a burden bearer. To come alongside people with heavy burdens. Maybe burdens of sin, maybe burdens of sorrow, maybe all kinds of burdens. And he's called you to come alongside them and to bear that burden with them. That's the call of God. Are you fulfilling your responsibility? Now again, don't say, well, that's Pastor Jody's responsibility. And when he gets back from India, I'm going to tell him about this person that he needs to go visit and he needs to help them. Why not you? Why not you? Now, he'll be glad to do it. But you're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside to help you. Why does he do that? So you can help others. Why don't you do it? Let's be people that are burden bearers. And folks, if you'll do that, we can produce some Pauls and some Marks and churches that are growing and established in the faith if we'll help bear burdens. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for how you've challenged my heart with these thoughts. And Lord, I pray as we conclude tonight that you would help every believer here to examine their heart and to say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, as the Barker sang tonight, that we would have that spirit. Where he leads me, I will follow. That spirit. Lord, whatever our dreams are, all the things, Lord, we put them in your hand. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed tonight. And it's kind of difficult to give an invitation for something like this, but let me give you a couple things. Number one, I wonder how many people tonight, as we've been talking about being a burden bearer, God has put someone specifically on your heart. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God, as we were talking about Barnabas and all these things, I mean, God spoke to you and said, okay, this is the one who has a burden that I want you to help bear. If you're saying that in your heart tonight, would you just slip up your hand and say, God has put someone specifically on my mind. Good, good. God has put someone specifically on my mind, and I, with the Lord's help, I'm going to help bear their burden. I'm going to help bear their burden. It may cost me, but I'm going to help. Others, God has put a specific person on my heart, and by the grace of God, with the help of God, I'm going to help carry their burden. Anyone else? Join these some that raise their hand. My prayer tonight is that you would surrender and that you would sacrifice and do what God wants you to do, and that I would do the same. Again, let me finish the way I started. Wouldn't it be great if every believer at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church was not consumed with stuff and self and all of the things they can do for themselves, but they had their eyes all around them saying, who can I bear? Whose burden can I bear? Who can I come alongside? Who can I help? Oh, it would change this church dramatically. It would change our community dramatically. May the Lord help us to be burden bearers. Lord, we thank you for these that have raised their hands tonight. And God, you've put in their heart a specific person that they need to come alongside and help bear the burden. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to be spirit-led, to do it with the right attitude, to be willing to sacrifice, and to do the work that you've called them to do. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's stand together. Where he leads me, I will follow. Wonderful. Let me encourage you tonight again, kind of an unusual message with an unusual invitation. If God has put someone on your heart tonight, you are burdened about, I think the place to start is prayer. Asking God to give you compassion, give you wisdom, that you might be able to come alongside them and help bear their burden. If God has put someone specifically on your heart, let me encourage you to come. As Kim plays, just come. And pray about that person. Pray about yourself that you would bear the burden the way you ought to. You come as she plays. Where he leads me, I will follow. Will you do that? Join these men who've come to pray. God has put someone on your heart. You try to do it in the flesh now, you're in trouble. Why don't you come right now? Get in the altar. Say, Lord, help me. Help me, no matter the cost, to bear the burden of this one you've called me to bear. They'll play one more time, we'll be done. Lord, we thank you tonight for the life of Barnabas, for your life, for the example of being a burden bearer. And Lord, you have worked in my heart over the last several weeks. And God, help me, God, to be consumed with bearing others' burdens, to be a helper, to draw people to yourself. And Lord, help every one of us this week specifically to be looking, to be led to believers and to unbelievers, folks that need us to come alongside and help their burden. God, may lives be changed. May people be helped as we become the burden bearers that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed. Again, Tuesday night, School of the Bible. Wednesday night, Brother Butch Abbott, I think, is preaching for us. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.